Hello, the series you're about to hear on the GBM Media podcast is from the Serving Today archive. It's on the I Am statements in John's Gospel, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook, and I'm pleased to be with you once more. Guy Davis continues the series on the I Am statements in John's Gospel. So far in our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus, here on Serving Today, we've seen that Jesus is both fully man and fully God. That was in our introduction based on the first chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus is described as the Word made flesh. Last time, Guy Davis, who's helping us on how to preach the I Am sayings, we focused on the verse in John chapter 6 when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." This was costly for Jesus, but that also makes him the best bread ever. We are to urge our people to feed on him. Now to introduce another statement that Jesus made, we're pleased to welcome Guy Davis back with us.
So now we come to the second of Jesus's I Am sayings recorded in the Gospel according to John, where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in John 8 verse 12 and John 9 verse 4, and that theme is developed throughout the whole of John chapter 9.
What can you tell us by way of background to this saying?
This one has the unique distinction of being spoken by Jesus on two separate occasions. In John chapter 7 and 8, we have the record of Jesus attending the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. During that week-long festival, the Jews remembered the time when the Lord brought their ancestors through the wilderness and into the Promised Land. He led them through a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Nehemiah praised God for this in Nehemiah 9, verse 19. The psalmist David could say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," Psalm 27, verse 1. Also look at what John says of Jesus in the opening verses of his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. And now Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the one who will lead us to our promised inheritance in glory. Look again at John 8, verse 12. We are going to focus on the second occasion when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." For that, we will need to turn to John chapter 9. The theme here is darkness and light.
So, as we come to the sermon outline, how are you going to divide it up?
There are three main points. First, Jesus gives a blind man sight. Second, Jesus gives a blind man light. Third, Jesus is the light of the world. Our first heading then, Jesus gives a blind man sight. And then we have a number of subheadings. First of all, why was the man born blind? Jesus and his disciples see a blind man. He was probably sitting beside the road begging. The disciples ask, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus replies, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life."
This is a very important point, isn't it?
Yes. We shouldn't think that because someone is suffering, that they've necessarily done something wrong. That's the big lesson of the book of Job. In this case, the man was born blind in order that the works of God might be revealed in him. Jesus continued to say in chapter 9, verse 5,
"As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Second subheading, Jesus makes the blind man see. He demonstrated that he was the light of the world by opening the eyes of the blind man. He spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva, and anointed the eyes of the blind man. Then he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which was in Jerusalem. He went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbours were amazed at this, as we see in chapter 9, verses 8 to 9.
Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man."
When they asked him how he could see, he testified in verse 11.
The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see.
Rather than being glad that this poor blind man could now see, the Jewish religious leaders were outraged because Jesus performed this miraculous sign on the Sabbath. The spiritual darkness of the religious leaders is contrasted with the spiritual light that Jesus gave the man born blind.
So what's the second heading going to be?
Jesus gives a blind man light. This blind man needed more than the restoration of his physical sight. He also needed to be saved from his spiritual darkness. Sin blinds our eyes to the truth of Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14.
The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
Also, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4,
the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
John shows us how the spiritually blind man came to see Jesus as the light of the world. Just as his physical sight was restored in stages, so it was only gradually that he came to see the light of Jesus. The religious leaders interrogate the man born blind to find out how he was healed. First, they did not believe his story. They called his parents, who told them that he was born blind, but they could not explain how he could see. The religious leaders then proceed to interrogate the man Jesus healed. As they question him, the light of Jesus begins to dawn upon the man whom he healed. We have three sub-points concerning the man born blind. First, he spoke of his experience of Jesus. The authorities demanded that he tell the truth. Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. He replies in chapter 9, verse 26.
Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.
All he could do at this point was speak of his experience of what Jesus had done. Second sub-point, he spoke of Jesus' unique power to heal. The religious leaders continue to press the man born blind. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man Jesus healed responds in chapter 9, 30-33.
Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
You notice how the light is slowly dawning on this man? In his first reply, he said that he did not know whether Jesus was a sinner or not. Now he understands that if Jesus was a sinner, he could not have opened his eyes. He confesses that Jesus is from God. His spiritual eyes need to be opened further, but he is getting there. On hearing his confession of Jesus, the religious leaders put him out of the synagogue. The man is now a social outcast. Third subheading, he believed that Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus sought out the man born blind and asked him in chapter 9, verse 35,
do you believe in the Son of Man?
The Son of Man was the divine Messiah. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 13-14. Jesus had spoken of himself as the Son of Man early in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 13-15. The man Jesus healed answers, who is he, sir? That is, who is the Son of Man? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus says, chapter 9, verse 37,
you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you.
The once blind man now sees. He said, Lord, I believe. and worship Jesus. Just as Jesus restored his physical sight, so now Jesus has given him spiritual sight to see and believe that he is the Son of Man who came into the world to save sinners. Ask your hearers whether they have believed in Jesus. Lord, I believe, and worshipped him. Ask your hearers whether they have believed in Jesus, saying, Lord, I believe, and then worshipped him as Lord and God.
Thanks very much, Guy. Now, what's the final heading?
Thirdly, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is able to cure our spiritual blindness. In our sin, we are ignorant of God. Jesus reveals God to us. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. John 1:18. In our sin, we don't know the way back to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. In the words of John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
But we need to beware that we don't reject the light of Jesus, like the religious leaders in John 9. Jesus warned in chapter 9, verse 39,
For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.
On hearing that, some of the Pharisees asked, What, are we blind too? To which Jesus replied in chapter 9, 41,
If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.
Jesus spoke these words earlier in the Gospel. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Chapter 3, verse 19.
Guy, as we come to the end of the sermon, how would you bring this to a close?
Warn your hearers not to reject the light of Jesus. Hold before them the words of our Lord. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, verse 12.
Our thanks to Guy Davis for bringing us that sermon outline on Jesus' saying, I am the light of the world. We trust that this encouraged you and that you'll be inspired to preach a series of sermons on the I Am sayings of Jesus. Well, we have to bring our time together to a close. We hope that you'll be able to join us again soon here on Serving Today. If you'd like to write to us, our contact details follow in a moment. So, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God use us in bringing others to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world.
Thanks for listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio Team. To get in touch with us, you can send us a message via WhatsApp. We have a new number, which is +44 74 44 05 83 70. That's +44 74 44 05 83 70. Or the email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Until next time, goodbye.